my game from the get-go is I'm 100% cash flow. If appreciation comes, that's great, but I'm not going to feed an alligator per se with negative income month after month and hoping that appreciation bails me out later.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
John Rick Garn, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, the pleasure's mine, man. There's three questions I ask everybody who comes on the show, and it's where did you start, where are you now, and how did you get there? And normally I tell everybody who comes on, give us a very truncated version. But if you don't mind, use this time to kind of give us that version, but also maybe a little bit more of your background. Tell us a little bit more about who it is that our listeners are listening to.
Sure. So as you said, my name is John Rick Garn. When asked what I do, I introduce myself as an investor, an educator, and a realtor. I invest in real estate. I educate others on real estate and investing. And I'm also a real estate agent as well. I'd say in the minority of the investor-friendly agents, so to speak. As far as my background, I started learning about investing, kind of deep dive into the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books in 2014. 2016, I made the jump into my first real estate investment. And since then, it's kind of snowballed from my first fourplex here in Marshall, Minnesota, to multiple properties across six states, and as well as getting into syndications through my retirement accounts.
Wow, that's a lot of moving pieces. Were you an investor before you became an agent?
Yes, I started investing in 2016. My previous life, I was actually an office equipment salesperson and did that for 12 years. And after numerous gray hairs and ulcers, decided, yeah, I think it's time for a change. And figured, well, I've had really good luck with real estate investing. I've learned a lot from real estate investing. Becoming an agent seemed to be the best fit and could also educate others to maybe get their first home, but also build their real estate portfolio as well.
Right. So what was the first deal you bought?
First deal I bought was a fourplex here in Marshall, Minnesota, my hometown. I had a very truncated wish list of what I wanted, meets the 1% rule, newer construction, vinyl or steel siding, et cetera, et cetera. My wife was even like, ah, you're never going to find that. And as luck would have it, actually found it on an MLS listing.
Wow.
And kind of back to the Rich Dad, Poor Dad lesson of don't say, I can't afford it. Asked, how can you afford it? Because, well, you know, fourplex, $300,000, who, I don't know anyone that just has 25% down payment sitting in a bank account for that kind of a down payment. So I learned that you can take your contributions out of a Roth IRA tax-free. Had one since I was age 19. So just got a little creative. And that's how I started my real estate investing journey.
Wow. And I've not heard that before 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that's not a commonly, I think, understood thing. Walk us through that contributions just for, we'll take a rabbit trail here for a second.
Sure. So, well, taking a step back, there's two retirement accounts, the traditional side, which is called tax deferred. You put in money and you get a tax break essentially up front, gross tax free. When you take it out of retirement, then you pay taxes.
Right.
I'm more of a fan of a Roth IRA that you put in the contributions, you don't get an upfront tax break, but a gross tax free. And when you take it out, it's tax free as well. If you're really lucky, like Peter Thiel, you can do this and get a $5 billion Roth IRA built up. With that being said, since you don't get a tax deduction, and there's a few nuances with this, but any of your contributions, you can pull out tax-free because you already paid taxes on that. Now, where the IRS cuts it off is that your earnings can't be pulled out until you're 59 and a half without penalties. So you put in $30,000, it grows to 60. You could take out that initial $30,000 because that was your contributions.
Right. Maybe not the best strategy for everyone, but in your case, it made all the sense in the world. It was like, hey, wait, I can pull this out and voila, I have my down payment.
Right. Yep.
That's awesome. So you bought a fourplex. You said, okay, I like the fourplex. How did you go from a fourplex to, what'd you say, across six states?
Yeah. So five states, my bad. So started in Minnesota. That was in 2016. And ironically, the next one came from our property manager that they had someone call in for a reference for a tenant. And through the conversation, like, hey, we're looking at selling our duplex. So Scott gave me a call. It's like, hey, if you're looking for an off-market property, this might be one for you. And it was in their territory. They managed it. So it worked out really well. And that's actually been our cash cow of all our properties ever since. Then we decided to jump across the state lines. My wife has family in Arizona, so we decided to get a condo down there. It's our second home slash vacation rental. Didn't really have the best start when COVID hit. 2020 didn't have a lot of income, but this year it's been performing very well for us. And then jumped into the turnkey investing space down in Birmingham, Alabama and Memphis, Tennessee. And the last acquisition was actually about 2 months ago. It was an off-market property duplex in Davenport, Iowa. Ironically, the owner lives in California. We had met up on a podcast and just started talking. He wanted to roll the proceeds into, I think, an assisted living facility or fund or something like that. So it worked out well for both of us. So
that's tremendous. I love the courage to just keep moving forward. Like, oh, hey, this 1 foot in front of the other, this seems to make sense. How are you able to fund all of these opportunities?
So it's a kind of a mix of things. So like I said, I started with a fourplex that was kind of the jumping off point with the pulling out of my Roth IRA. At the time, I still had a day job selling off equipment and was fairly successful with it. I had a number of years, pulled in six figures. And my wife and I were the proverbial dinks, double income, no kids at the time. So a little bit more spendable income, didn't have any children at the time. So I was able to utilize more from savings. And at the time, I was very much max out your IRA, max out your 401k. In 2016, I really took a step back from that and pulled back my contributions just to get the match at my workplace. So that allowed for thousands and thousands of dollars over a course of 4 years that, okay, instead of putting in retirement, let's put these into down payments for properties. So
interesting. Yeah, I love that. So you're able to put down payments for the properties. Were you still a W-2 employee when you were buying all of these, or had you then since transitioned out of that?
Transitioned out. I was a W-2 employee with the first four acquisitions, and then after that transitioned from it. The last acquisition probably got the most creative. I worked with the local bank that our fourplex had gained in value quite a bit. So we had some equity to tap in there. So working with the local bank essentially had 0% down payment. It was 100% financed. The down payment was a first lien 10-year amortization that was basically pulled from the equity of our portfolio that acted as a down payment, and then a remaining 25% down payment, then 75% remaining for the duplex down in Davenport. So out of pocket was pretty much just some of the closing costs and appraisal, et cetera.
What was it like getting bank financing without a job?
Well, the first one was a little bit tricky. They kind of had to redo the entire financing, so to speak. Now, my wife is still a W-2 employee, so obviously could utilize her income. At that point, had built up our rental portfolio. So they, on paper, it looks like our business has a loss because of depreciation. Found a bank, not all banks do this, but found one. They take your tax returns, add back in the depreciation to show an actual income that they can use towards financing other properties. So,
right. Yeah. You got to find that lender. That's for sure. Let's shift gears a little bit out of maybe your story and just talk about things that maybe that you've run into along the way. Were there tools or strategies that you've used in this process to really grow your portfolio?
I'd say probably the biggest thing is just education, really due diligence. I'd say on average for every deal we have purchased or property purchased, probably looked at between 50 and 100 before pulling the trigger. I tend to be extremely conservative. I've seen a lot of pro formas that kind of pie in the sky, no vacancy, no maintenance, top of the market rents, et cetera. And I usually kind of take that apart. It's like, well, let's put this in for the rent. Let's factor in this. Nope, this doesn't cash flow. I'm out. And that's been my game from the get-go, is I'm 100% cash flow. if appreciation comes, that's great, but I'm not going to feed an alligator per se with negative income month after month and hoping that appreciation bails me out later.
Right. Absolutely. Has there been any bad advice that you've received along the way?
I don't know about bad advice. I would just say more maybe misguided, more of on the appreciation side. Oh, you know, invest for appreciation. And yeah, there's a few markets. I mean, I kicked myself. I should have gone the Dallas-Fort Worth market, you know, 7 years ago. There was a fourplex down in Florida that would be worth about $280,000 more than what we had purchased for. I kicked myself for not pulling the trigger on that. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I looked at my portfolio, it's cash flowing, and two of our properties have appreciated amazingly, but that wasn't my main focus. It was cash flow appreciation next. And as we've been building our portfolio, taking that appreciation out through cash out refinances or lines of credit, use that as down payments for additional properties. So,
what's one of the biggest challenges that you face in your business today?
Right now, I would say, and I'm sure everyone knows this, just the lack of inventory nationwide and really finding a good deal and long wait list for different turnkey providers. My initial goal was to try to get two properties a year. It's been more of one property a year the last 2 years, but at the same token, it has to meet my criteria. I'm not going to give up my criteria of what I look for to buy something just to buy, even if there is extravagant appreciation going on the market right now. So I'd say it's maybe a little bit more slow going. That's why I've started to go into more syndications and some more group funding or private lending. But eventually the market's going to turn around. We'll get caught up with the inventory struggle and whatever the new normal is going to be. I think we'll be there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything about your business or yourself that you want to forecast in the next 12 months? Say, hey, this is something I want to actively work on and change.
Probably the next 12 months, really, shall we say, a good solid financial position. And I want us more on the lines of having extra reserves and additional credit lines on hand. I'd rather have the funds available for the eventual new deal that comes up and be ready to jump and have a really good reserve base there in case something extraordinary happens on a property. It isn't so much of a negative cash flow that's going to hinder me. I can just pull that from reserves and really be in a solid position, even if that means, well, I could take this for a down payment on another property, but well, let's just take a step back and leave this for the what ifs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So, John, tell us about your journey to becoming an LP. I know you said that's why you've gone more into group syndications and things like that. What does that mean to you? And how have you found success in being a passive investor?
Sure. With the limited partner and the syndications, that is primarily through my self-directed retirement accounts. Like I mentioned before, I took out my contributions and still had a sizable nest egg. And I kind of looked at it as, okay, if I took out all my contributions, essentially I have an infinite return sitting here. So let's see how I can grow that. And as I researched more into private lending, limited partners, 506B syndications, realized then I could get into more deals and just get more passive cash flow, possibly some equity growth that would just continue to grow my retirement account with minimal hands-on or need to get involved, and also possibly higher growth than the volatile stock market.
Right. All compelling reasons. That's absolutely for sure. John, let's jump here into the final four questions. What is one resource or a tool you find you can't live without?
Well, shameless plug, I'm going to throw out my podcast here, Wealth and Freedom Nexus, where I share my journey and shortcut for a lot of others of what's worked out best for my journey. Beyond that, I think many listeners probably have heard of the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I still read that usually every single year, get a nugget out of that once or twice, and really just have that as the mindset of buy assets that produce cash flow that can pay your bills and fund your lifestyle.
Love that. If you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
The one mistake I will mention, and I got hit with this, and I've only seen this mentioned in one PDF in my entire research, but if you're purchasing a property and you look at the property taxes, double check to see if there's a homestead exclusion, because once the house goes from homeowner occupied to non-owner occupied, many places you will lose that exemption and your property taxes could jump, even though your value of the property may not go up a dime. And I can speak, I got hit with that. And that's probably made my biggest mistake, never thought of looking into. So that's my little nugget to share. Running your numbers, look at the tax numbers very closely if there's a homestead exclusion that's going to go away once you purchase that as a rental.
Absolutely. Great piece of advice. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Just sharing my journey, sharing what I've learned. I believe education should be abundant, especially financial education. And I think all of us can work to get to a better place. My tagline on my website is financial freedom, one bill at a time. So if anyone out there is like, well, gee, $10,000 a month or whatever the number may be, seems a little bit too daunting, work it backwards. What's a monthly recurring bill? I throw out, everyone seems to have a Netflix subscription, you know, 15 bucks a month. Okay, what asset can you bring to the table that produces $15, $20 a month in passive income, have that bill paid for, and then keep moving up?
I love it. That's very simple and very practical. John, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that or learn more about you?
Well, I'm not too hard to find. So if you just Google my name, John Rickgarn, interesting fact, there's only three Rickgarns in the world, so not too difficult to find. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram. You can go to my website, even a shortcut. You can just go to rickgarn.com and that will redirect you right to my website. Nice to have a unique last name. I can have an 8-character web address that isn't taken.
Right. Yeah, that's hard to come by. John, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great having you on the show, and I do appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.